Let's turn in our Bibles to a new chapter in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 6. Chapter 6, we're going to cover four verses this morning. Let me read them to you while you're turning to Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And the church says, amen. We're continuing to learn how to walk worthy of the great and credible calling that we have in Christ Jesus. Remember, the word worthy means to be a picture of a set of scales, okay? 5 pounds and 5 pounds, equal. In other words, equal in doctrine, equal in practice. You're a hearer of God's word, you're a doer of God's word. So we move now from marriages to children. Now, usually marriages produce children, amen? Okay, not always, but that's the case here this morning. And so we move from the marriages that honor God to the parents' role in raising their children, and it's in the Christian home. Now, it's very important, mom, dad, if you have little ones or older ones, if your kids have already gone, then maybe you can help the grandkids or whatever. But this is a word for all of us this morning. And before I begin, I want to say something to every young father or a father that their children have already grown up and now they're gone. My purpose this morning, as it always is only to teach the truth of God's word. Amen? So, dads, listen to me. If you get offended this morning, I say this, I love you, man. But if you get offended this morning because of God's word, don't blame Bill. Amen? Amen. Because we teach the Bible here, and we're proud of that. We love the word of God. So with all that being said, if both parents, mom and dad, if you do not obey, like we have been learning, Ephesians chapter 5, 18, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, where it's not your will, it's God's will, and you're in agreement with that. And if you're not fulfilling and obeying the command, Ephesians 5, 21, where it says, "Be not drunk with wine," which is dissipation, "but be ye being filled," over and over again, "with the Holy Spirit of God." These four verses, mom and dad, or maybe you're a single mother raising your children alone, or a single father raising your children alone. If you do not obey 5:18 and 5:21, you're not going to accomplish verses 1 through 4 in chapter 6. It's just not going to happen. That's why it's so important to be obedient to the commands of God. One more thing as we begin, just these simple four verses. This has absolutely nothing to do outside of the home. Everything that takes place in verses 1 through 4 is inside the home of the believer. And so you know it as well as I do that, you know, every day there seems to be like a new book that comes out on and teaching a mom and a dad how to raise their children. And I'm sure that many parents, whether they're believers or non-believers, have searched the internet when they have maybe a question about kids or behavior and so forth. So, you know, those books, I'm sure they're wonderful, but there's no book like the Word of God. Amen? And so, you know, the books that come out, like I just looked at a couple of them this week, A Guide to Modern Parenting. Modern Parenting, okay? How to Raise Successful Kids Without Over-Parenting. And here's a good one. You Want to Raise Successful Kids? Science Says to Do These Five Things. I will not tell you those five things, all right? Now, but God does something else. You don't have to read 500 pages. You only have to read four verses. It is amazing that that's all that the Lord gives us, even though throughout the Word of God there's other scriptures. But right here, this is it, guys, mom, dad, right here, four verses for the parent-child relationship. And again, verses 1 through 4, they take care, take place only in the home. So these four verses, I believe, are probably the most challenging and difficult things to accomplish in the role of the mom and the role of the dad. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Now, God's word says there's only one way to raise your children, and that's His way. The Bible says in Psalm 127:3, "Behold, children are the heritage from the Lord. In other words, children are a gift to you from God Almighty. They're your stewards over these children. He says the fruit of the womb is the reward, meaning the reward from God. So let's look at the Christian home this morning in these four verses. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, listen carefully. Anytime you study the Bible, you first, before you interpret it in today or make application for the 21st century, what you have to do is go back and find out what was happening in marriage with children historically in the days of Paul. So when it says children, I can assure you that children then are not like children today. Amen? I mean, it's totally different. Yes. Matter of fact, when Paul penned this verse, a Jewish boy became a man according to the law and according to his family at the age of 13. And a Jewish girl became a woman at the age of 12. Think about that. Now, in the Roman culture, a boy became a man at 14. And then in a Greek culture, he became at 18. In our culture today, just think about it. There is no way that you would let your 13-year-old boy or girl get married, would you? They don't even know how to make their bed. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't mean that critically. Now, with all that being said, the command for children. So if there's children here or listening live at home, you're around your parents right now, you know, then this is something they would want you to do. It says, children, obey your mom and dad. What does that mean? The word obey just means listen to what they say and submit to it. That's all that means. So when you hear mom and dad tell you to do something, you do that. And there's only one way children, teens, everybody that's listening, if there are any kiddos listening, there's only one way to do it. You do so in the Lord. Why? You know, why must you obey your parents? It's because the Lord tells you to do so. And you know what? If you love the Lord, then you will obey the Lord. What did Jesus tell us in John 14, 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. So you obey your parents because it is right. Look at it. For this is right. Did you know that whatever Jesus says is never wrong? Jesus is always right. Do you know that Jesus has never been wrong? And Jesus determines, our Lord determines what is right and what is wrong with in the Word of God. So if you disobey your parents, you know, here's the deal. You're really disobeying the Lord. Do you ever think about that? I mean, if you disobey and you go, don't do what your mom and dad ask you to do, then you're really disobeying the Lord, not your parents. But here's what you want to see, that the ultimate authority, little ones and teenagers, when you're 19, when you're 18, 15, right on down the line, your ultimate authority is really not the mom and dad. Yes, it is, but it's not. The ultimate authority in your obedience is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's God's authority. So, and plus children, mom and dad, you can show your kiddos that Jesus was the perfect example. Remember when he was 12 years old and they went into Jerusalem at the feast day and what was it? Luke chapter 2 verses 51 through 52 right there. And they couldn't find Jesus and they spent all this time and they finally found him. And Jesus looked at his mom and dad. He was only 12 years old. Of course, Joseph wasn't his dad, but Mary. Said, did you not know that I would be about my Father's business? And it says that Jesus then did something at 12 years old. He submitted himself unto them. Now, the one who created the world submitted himself. Now, that's a perfect example for children. It says also about kiddos, look at this. It says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. So Paul, he quotes the fifth verse, remember, from the fifth verse, the fifth commandment from the Ten Commandments there in Exodus 20, verse 12. So this is a divine command. Children are to honor your dad, honor your mom, love them, respect them. Remember, the word honor is a special word. It means to treat them like treasure. Isn't that a great word? Isn't it a wonderful feeling when the kids treat you like treasure? a precious treasure. Matter of fact, we get our English word ornament, like a beautiful ornament that hangs upon a tree. So it says, children, honor your mom, honor your dad. They love you. They protect you. They've sacrificed their life for you, believe me. And I can assure you that nothing, absolutely nothing, breaks the heart of a mom or a dad is when their children willfully and spitefully disrespect them. And really, whenever a kid does this, loved one, you know, really, that right there is an insult unto the Lord. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:1, it says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 19:26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Proverbs 28:14, whoever robs his father and his mother and says it's no transgression, listen to this, the same is the companion to a destroyer. And who is the destroyer? The devil. So parents, listen, I say something to you, and I say it to you as a parent. And I say it very tenderly to you. You know, listen, you know, how in the world do we truly gain our child's honor? That's a very important, I mean, if they're to honor you, you have to give them at least something to honor. Is that right? You have to give them something to respect and so forth. You know, and if you want to be treated like treasure, you know, you can't command your child to do that. You know why? Because you cannot teach your children to honor you. You can tell them that they should, but you cannot teach that to them at all. And you can't force it. And if you do force it, then it's not true love. It's not true respect. And if you demand it from your children, you know, look what God's word says, using the word of God as a weapon instead of walking in love toward your kiddos who are growing up, amen, and you're helping them to grow up. Well, I demand it, that external submission. If you do that, loved one, now listen to me. If you do that, I'm not saying anyone here does, but if you do, that's not Christianity. Do you understand? That's not Christianity. And parents, it doesn't say for children to love their parents. Isn't that amazing in these four verses? It doesn't say that at all. It says for children to honor their mother and father, to obey their mother and father. Why? Because children love you whether you're a good mom and dad or a bad mom and dad. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Listen, I loved my parents. I didn't even know them that well, but I loved them. They were my mommy or they were my daddy. Does that make sense? Yeah, and they were not good parents, and I don't know why they weren't, but I wasn't a good boy, and I can promise you I did not obey them, and I did not honor them. And I promise you that I never treated them like treasure, but nobody told me I was supposed to do that. Does that make sense? It's kind of hard to tell your dad that you love him and respect him if he's never there, okay? So you look at all these things. So, you know, the Christian home, there's only one place and only one way to gain your child's honor. It all happens in the home. Why? Because they see you. You know what kids want? They want a real mother and father. They don't want a perfect mother and father because there's no such thing as that. Amen? And parents, listen, Jesus has already given us the perfect example, the Word of God. In Ephesians 5:1, what does it say? It says, imitate God as dear children and walk in love. You're to imitate God in front of your children. You're the perfect example, loved one. So it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. So that goes all the way back to the children of Israel. And a companion verse to that would be Deuteronomy 5:16, which says, honor your father, honor your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, for your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land, meaning the promised land for the Jews, which the Lord God is giving you. So what does that mean to us? Well, it's telling us this. It's not necessarily saying that you're going to live to be 100 years old if you do this. What it is saying that is that God's favor will rest upon you because you were being obedient to his commandments. Amen? Now, there are many, many, and I know from counseling, many adult women, men, They grow up, they were kids like all of us, and they grow up, and they would have given anything to obey their mom and dad. Because they didn't, and then the consequences of their disobedience cost them greatly. You know, listen, I've heard that over and over and over. I should have listened to my mother. I should have listened to my dad. They warned me. They told me. I heard them. Remember, the word obey means to hear and obey, hear and submit. I heard them, but I did not obey them, and it cost me greatly. You know, I cannot tell you how many times I've talked to unwed mothers, teenage unwed mothers, and they say, my daddy and my mom, they warned me, they warned me. And you know, here I am, I'm with child, and he doesn't love me. He's never even seen his kid. Oh, listen, the consequences of all of that. And now we get into our true text this morning. We all know that kids are to should honor us and love us and all those things and obey. But now, verse 4. And you fathers, and we can also say moms as well, but primarily I'm talking to dads. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to what? Wrath. Don't make them angry. Don't do those things. But you're to do something. You are to bring them up. That's a beautiful word. Bring them up tenderly. You're to nurture them. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Man, listen. Where is this done again? It's done in your home, in the Christian home. And fathers, listen to me now. It all begins with you. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. That is your God-given divine role. Amen? Fathers are so important. Loved one, listen. The command, the first words, isn't it interesting? The first words to parents is not how to train your children. The first words to parents is do not provoke. Don't provoke them in their life. Don't make them angry. Don't say things that's going to hurt them and so forth. You know, don't constantly discourage your children. You know, the first part of verse 4, loved one, listen to me, fathers. It's all about words. It's all about the things that you speak and how you speak them. Proverbs 12:18 says this, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. In other words, like you speak and the words stab the person to death. It says, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. You, every person in this room, we've all been children. Can words scar the heart of a little boy, little girl? Ooh, they can tear them apart. You know, what people say about them. But man, listen, to a child, it's one thing for a teacher to say something negative or bad. But when it's their mother, when it's their father, moms and dads, you are the most important person in the life of your child, and whatever you say to them when they're little, they believe you. They believe you. And maybe sometimes we don't say the things that we should say, and God help us, boy, that is so important that we do. See, this command, parents, this command is from God. Do not provoke your children to anger. Colossians 3:21, a companion verse says this, do not provoke your children or stop nagging them lest they become discouraged. I know that words either lift people up or put people down. Amen? They're either going to encourage your child or they're going to discourage your child. To demean a little one, to demean a child is sin. It should never, never happen. Every mom, every dad, we all want to build our children up. We never want to tear them down. And fathers, listen to me. Your words are powerful. It's amazing how powerful a father's words are to their child. You know, the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the what? Of the tongue. Man, speak life over your kids. Look at it again, verse 4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but here's what we're to do. Number one, we're to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The word bring them up simply means to nourish your little one all the way to maturity. Take them to the very end. And it says that, and how do you do that? It says, first of all, in training. Now, we know, every parent knows what that word, I'm sure, means. Training means discipline. We all know, every parent knows about discipline. And I think discipline, this kind of discipline, you know, the spanking, is done too much. Now, you say, Bill, we shouldn't discipline our kids. No, I'm not saying that. But I'll show you that in just a moment. It says, bring them up how? Training. That's discipline. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod. In other words, if you hate your son, but he who loves him disciplines him. There's the same word. Disciplines him promptly, or literally you start that discipline. The word promptly means early in their life. Don't wait until they're 17 years old. Amen? That doesn't work, does it? Don't wait till they're 15 years old because that no longer works. Proverbs 30:17, one of my favorite scriptures about discipline. Listen to this. The eye that mocks his father and scorns disobedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. I like that. Becky and I had that scripture on Thomas's wall when he was a little boy, and at night it glowed in the dark. You know what I mean? No. So the main thing here, listen, the main thing is not spanking. The main thing is speaking. You know, I have seen fathers, mothers, look at a child in that look, and their voice is just a little bit stern, and that baby will break down weeping. Amen? That just breaks your heart, doesn't it? It's just the look. It's just the words. Words are so powerful. That's why this word admonition is better, more important than the discipline or the training. Now, the word admonition means to instruct, or literally to instruct by putting something in their mouth and so forth. In other words, it means literally the speaking of the word, or it is the training by the word, which is the word of God. And it all centers around what? It says, in the Lord. That's the key to it all. Right now, there's so many parents that are worried their kids about school. And my kid has to be in school. Of course, all kids need an education. And the thing is, though, loved one, you hear the doctors or the psychologists, they say, if they don't get to interact, there's going to be a psychological issue in their lives. And I don't know if that's true or not. But you know what? If I was a parent, and I am, but if with little ones today, I'd be more worried about educating my children in God's word. Do you understand? Instead of how if 1 6-month period or 1 year is going to make a difference. Because I promise you, if you don't give them God's word, it will make a difference the rest of their life. Yeah, it's so, so important. So, fathers, listen to me. Moms, your child, you know it, I know it, they come into this world, they do not know right or wrong. They know nothing about Jesus. They know nothing about the Holy Spirit. They know nothing about the Bible. They can't talk. You have to nourish them. You have to take care of them. And their mind is totally empty. Now, they learn through as they go along, of course. But you have an empty mind and an empty heart that you can start molding. See, when a child comes into this life, loved one, listen, they don't have a clue that there's an enemy. They don't know that there's a devil, but you do. They don't know that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that he wants every child, every little boy, every little girl to disobey their mom, their dad, to go out into the world and live for the world and die and go to hell. That's what the devil wants. But your little one, when they come into the world, they don't have a clue about that. And they are not prepared to face real life. They start growing up. You have to prepare them to face real life. Amen? They don't know. Here they are. You hold a little baby in their arms and think of all the things they're going to face that little girls and boys are facing right now. Sexting and porn and peer pressure in schools and all kinds of trash, man. Did you know that by the age of 8, nearly every child now today will be exposed to pornography? Think about that. You have to prepare them because they don't know how to prepare themselves for that. Are y'all with me? Okay, yeah, they don't know. See, they do not realize, the little children, and thank God they don't, but they need parents that know. They're innocent. Listen, they don't realize that every day of their life, here they are day one, now as they grow and go through life, they're going to be exposed to every kind of evil. They're going to suffer temptation in their life. They don't know that. They don't know that one day the iPhone's going to be their God. They don't know that, you know? Now listen, I've said this often from this pulpit. I would have given anything to have been raised in a Christian home, now that I know. Of course, I had no idea back then. But to really be raised now, not just a Christian home, but a true Christian home. Listen, to be raised in a Christian home is one of the greatest privileges on earth. Listen, to have a family, a home that where the Bible is believed and honored and read, amen? In a home where Jesus is worshiped and where prayers are going up all the time and so forth. You know, a place where children are in a home where they are being raised in, trained in, raised in the admonition of the Lord God, our Savior. So fathers, here's the deal. You have to be giving your kiddos a biblical worldview. That is your calling. That is your stewardship. And it all takes place in the home. Now, let me say something about biblical worldview, about teaching your children, because we can really get in trouble because it's not about our personal preferences. Do you understand? My granddaddy, this is the way we... No. Listen, a biblical worldview is not based on your personal preferences. It's based only on spiritual truths, which is the Word of God. And also, when you give your children a biblical view, and I made this mistake, and I learned my mistake, and I never forgot it. And I'm not saying I continued in my mistake. I said I learned, okay? And that was this. Your goal in giving your kiddos a biblical worldview is not parental authority. Did you know that? See, that's where we make a mistake. God says you have to obey me. I'm your daddy. You know, we've all been there. But it's not about parental authority. It's teaching them about God's authority. And if you teach them God's authority, you can say, listen, the reason that I am correcting you is not because daddy wants to correct you. I don't want to spank you, but I am going to spank you because you were warned, you knew the guidelines, I begged you 3 times not to do that. And son, you know what? I'm going to give you a couple of swats, and I'm doing it because I am obedient to godly authority. Are you with me? Very, very important, loved one. Listen, and here's the deal, dads. If you do not teach your children, train your children in the admonition of the Lord, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Someone else will. And it's not going to be what you want. And so that's why it's so important. I can assure you that no mother, no father wants someone else training their kiddos. Amen? No, not at all. And believe me, you definitely don't want someone other than yourselves to help your kiddos make choices or make decisions, do you? But you know what? If you don't do that, what are they going to do? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The internet is going to make choices for them. Schools, teachers, and schools will make their peers, whatever. You know, this world has a calling. It wants to conform our kiddos, okay? It wants to squeeze them into the mold. And the devil, man, he not only wants to deceive, but he wants to destroy. You know, I've quoted this scripture over the years about kiddos from Richard Baxter back in the 1600s. It's so profound. He said this, you know what? If you don't teach your children the Word of God, you sell them to this world. Talking to mom and dad, listen to that. Ooh. You betray them to the devil. You allow your children to become slaves of the wicked one. You allow Satan to abuse your children in this life and torment them in the next. Ooh, what a severe word, isn't that? So you know it and I know it. We've talked about this over the years. Parents, you only have so many days to train your kiddos. You know, in other words, from birth to 18, there's 6,570 days. Those are the opportunities, those days that you have to train your kiddos. If your kiddos are now, say, 12 years of age, it means, let me look, you have 2,190 days until they turn 18. Days are important. That's why you start early with your children. Don't neglect that. Now, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up, number one. Number two, in the training. Number three, admonition of the Lord. Those are three truths from God. They're all done in the home. Again, to bring them up means to nurture them to maturity, their body, mind, soul, spirit, all that they are. my question is this. Since March 13th, you know, the church was closed for a long time now. We've reopened. But during the pandemic, when your kiddos were not here, were you training and teaching your kiddos at home? Not just once a week, but I mean every day. Boy, that is so important. Dads, listen, you do not tell your child, well, go pray. No, you go with your child and you teach them to pray. Amen? You know, listen, that's how it's done. You know, and you know what's wonderful? It's so easy to use daily life experiences. You know, I cannot tell you how many times when Thomas was just a little boy, you know how boys are. They are rough. They climb trees. They're muddy. They're dirty. I mean, they're filthy kids, you know? And they'll play outside. They get the ring under the neck. I don't think kids do that anymore. And when he would fall, he would always run to me. He didn't run to mama. He would run to me. And I would always teach him about prayer right then. He says, Daddy, look at my knee. Oh, I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die, you know. And so I'd sit him down. It didn't matter if it was outside or in the house. And I said, you know what? I know something right now because I know you're crying. But can I tell you something? I'm teaching him. See, the whole time I'm teaching. It's not hard to teach your kids. And as he's crying, I go, well, we better go to the Lord in prayer because his bottle of your tears might be filling up, okay? And he goes, what? I said, yeah, he's catching every one of them, and he's writing down, well, Thomas fell, bruised his knee, but Daddy's going to pray with him. You know what I mean. Are y'all with me? Yeah. See how easy that was? That's not hard. And you just teach them just like that. So dads, listen, you don't go say, go pray. You say, no, let's go pray. You teach them to pray. You don't go, honey, okay, little one, go read your Bible. No. You say, let's go read the Bible together. Amen? See, you teach them. And can I tell you something? Dads, I'm talking primarily to dads, but mothers too, of course. Dads, listen, you can make it so much fun. You can make it, it's fun to teach the Bible to your kiddos. You know, I looked up last night here at the church, and just a few things that what I used to do. Here they go. You ready? And I said, make it fun. And I would say, you know, to Thomas or whatever, did you know that there was a man who went to sleep on the ground and guess what he slept on for a pillow? A stone. What? A stone? Yeah, a stone. Y'all remember that? Would you see how kids get interested in that? Let me give you a few of them. How about this one? The sun stood still for a whole day. Will that teach your kiddos? Yeah, and you can be outside, you can be having your iced tea and looking up, and there's the sun. How about this one here? I love this one. Did you know, son, that there was, or daughter, whatever, did you know there was a man in the Bible? Believe it or not, he had 12 fingers and 12 toes. He did? Yeah. You see what I'm getting at? You see how easy that is? How about the one where the axe head floated on, swimming in the water, or the man who walked naked for 3 years? You see what I'm getting at? Now, and here was one of my favorites, about the woman who boiled and ate her son. It's a joke. Are you guys with me this morning? Listen, you got to help me, man. Yeah. No, you know that wasn't my favorite. You can go outside. You can go outside at night, and there's the moon. You can turn to Genesis chapter 1, or really, you can quote it. Honey, how did God create that? He just said it, and it happened. Tell me about that. He said, when he created the stars, 5 words in Genesis. There it is, the star. All those stars, how did he do it? It's just that constant talking to them about the Word of God. And you know what? You can teach them how much Jesus loves them. You can teach them how to be led by the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. Teach them about grace. Teach them about forgiveness. Teach them about heaven. Teach them about hell. You can teach them one of the greatest things you can teach your child is that God never lies. God cannot lie. The Word of God is perfect truth. Teach them. One of the greatest things you can teach your kids as they grow up, I'm talking about experience. All these things are from experience, you know. I'm old enough now to remember a few things. But, you know, you teach your children it's not a sin as they get older in their teen years that it's not a sin to feel certain desires or to be ashamed of what they're feeling, but you are to teach them how to control those desires. Amen? See, you can do those things. You know, you teach them that when they grow up, that the Bible is the only authority, the true authority, not their school. Schools are wonderful, not their teachers. They're not the authority. Teachers are wonderful, not the government. Thank God for our government. No, not even their friends. You tell them that the Word of God, the living Word of God, the one who sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, he is the one who has all authority. You tell them the truth, so when they finally get into situations, perhaps at school or later on at college, when they start telling them and teaching evolution as fact and not theory, they can say, no, that's not true. I know I didn't, you know, come from some cosmic ooze. I was created in the image of God. Heaven is my home. Jesus is my Savior. And when they go to class in college or maybe school, high school, grades, or whatever it is, and they start talking about how the earth was formed and the Big Bang Theory, you can just say, no, that's a big bull theory. You know what I'm saying? No, that's not how it happened. I can turn to Genesis 1. I know exactly how God created the world. No, listen, this all takes place in the home. And when they are little, you have all of their attention. You have all of their hearts. Parents, mom, dad, they will believe you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15 that from childhood, meaning infancy, Paul tells Timothy, he says, oh, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Amen? Able to make you wise. Some of the worst mistakes that we can make as parents is to raise little religious hypocrites, okay? In other words, they're so sheltered. Kids are not perfect. Amen? But they're so sheltered that they grow up and they look down their noses at those that are lost. God forbid. You need to teach them their heart needs to be broken over the lost. Never to look down their noses at that at all. You need to teach them, fathers, listen, what sin is, what sin does, and where sin leads. It leads to eternal death. So, listen carefully. What a father and a mother, but fathers, listen carefully. What you do, your actions, what you model in the home is your absolute best teacher. In other words, when your little one sees you sit down to the dinner table or the breakfast table or the lunch table, and they see you bow your head and mama bows her head from the day they're born, and you pray over your food, do you follow me? Do you know what you're doing? You are teaching, you're training, and admonition your children. You're raising them up in the Lord. Whenever a little boy, a little girl, when they're old enough to walk and they start seeing the interactions between the mother and in the father, whenever they observe the way a father treats his wife, they observe that. You're training them. You want your child to grow up and say, I want a husband, amen? I want a husband that'll treat me the way my daddy treated my mama. See, you're training, they're observing it. All of their life, they're looking unto you. And here's what's going to happen. Your child will model your behavior. They can't help it. And for example, if you are judgmental, daddy, then they're going to grow up and be judgmental too. Why? They're going to model your behavior. Did you know that behavior modeling is the most powerful way to train your children? You see, believe it or not, you are your children's model for prayer. They just watch what you do. You, dads, moms, you're their model for the way you forgive others, the way you help others, the way that you love others. You're their model, dad. In other words, church attendance. Of course, we've been in the pandemic, and not all of us can be. The church was shut down for a while. But you know, the fact is, before then, you're the model for church attendance. If you let the kids grow up and they see that church doesn't mean anything to you, maybe occasionally I'm going to show up. Depends on whether Dallas is playing or not. You know what I mean. Listen, what are you teaching your kids? You're teaching them, and it's you are doing it. Not God. You're doing it. that church is just not important. But whenever the dad goes, honey, make sure these kids get in Sunday school. I got to see this game. You know, it's the big one. You know what I mean? Now, I don't fault you for that at all. But here's what happens. They come to Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, and we have great teachers at Kids Church. We have great teachers in the youth. Do you understand? And so here they see that, well, they're supposed to honor God and they're supposed to do all these things. And you know, and they're taught to read their Bibles and pray and be committed to the church. And if they don't see that model of behavior at home, then it confuses them. Because, see, they hear it taught here, but they don't see it modeled in the house. What happens to a child that grows up in a Christian home but is never given a true biblical worldview? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:31, it says, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. That no Christian mother or father wants that for their kiddos. Listen, see, if we don't equip our kids with God's word, man, they're in trouble. See, without God's word, there's no moral compass. There's no absolute truth. Do you understand? They don't have anything to stand on. And the latest Pew research, I just pulled it up last night. It says only 4% of millennials, Christians that are millennials, have a biblical worldview. 4%. Listen to Barna research on Generation Z. This is what this generation is, right? Is that right? I don't know what it is. It says Generation Z, and it is this generation, is the least Christian generation in all of American history. Think about that. And we wonder why our government is all messed up. We wonder why socialism is gaining popularity. Oh, listen, a person's worldview, it says in one statistic, a person's worldview, biblical worldview, is developed, and I should say any worldview, is developed between the ages of 18 months and 13 years. One of the greatest things that you can do is make Christianity the most joyous thing in all of the world in your home. And you know why you can do that? Because it is joyous. Amen? There's nothing greater than the Christian life. And you know, every Christian parent, they should always do a self-examination of themselves and of their children. You should look at your child and say, okay, am I doing this? Is my child really, is he walking with the Lord, learning about the Lord, or is he walking like the world? That's very important that we know those things. And listen, you have a promise about your children. You remember on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, when those in the upper room, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that? That promise of that filling of the Holy Spirit, loved one, is just not to the people in the upper room or to that generation. It is to every generation throughout till the end of time. It says in Acts 2:39, for the promise, meaning the endowment from power upon high, is to you, and here it comes, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. The promise is to you, that filling of the Holy Spirit, that endowment of power, loved one, but it's also to your children. That's their birthright. Tell them about that. You know, to be one thing to be born again, another to be, I'm talking about the upper room experience. I'll never forget, Thomas was probably, Becky knows every number perfectly, and I don't. But I think he might have been 7, or I'm not for sure. And we were in a church service, and he was in the kids' church. And so after the service was over, we were driving home, and he said, Daddy, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, what's going on? He said, well, he said, you know, I was sitting there in the kids' church, and he said, minding my own business with all the other kids, and the teacher had not started teaching yet, and there was a wind that blew through the kids' church. And I said, really? I said, was it the air conditioning? I mean, you know, what's going on? He said, oh, no. He said, and then I started speaking in another language. Do you know what that means? Are y'all with me? Listen. It belongs to your children. They have to be, the reason we have to have power from them on high is because we are powerless. We need to have the Holy Spirit ruling in our lives. Listen, it says, Jesus said in Luke 18:15, it's talking about the Lord, and it says, and they, meaning the disciples, they also brought infants to Jesus that he might just touch them. But the disciples saw it, and they rebuked them. But Jesus called them and said, let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them. Why? For such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, listen now, as this little child will never enter it. Did you know, fathers, listen to me now, it is not difficult to lead your children to the Lord. It is one of the easiest things you can do. Jesus just told us something. He said, you know what? It is absolutely impossible for anyone to be born again, enter the kingdom of God, unless they do something, unless they receive salvation as the gift of a little child. Listen, I tell you something. I tell you, a child is never too proud to accept a present or a gift. Have you ever noticed that? No, oh, thank you. They want it. You bet, no matter what it is. No, listen. No, fathers and mothers, listen. Here's the deal. When they see Jesus in you, when they see Jesus modeled in you when they're little, you know what? They want what you have. They want Jesus. One night, I don't know, maybe he was 6 years old. Thomas was about 6 years old. And I always, every morning I prayed, all of his life, I laid hands on my son every day of his life until the day I dropped him off at college. That was the last time. That way, he's not living on my faith, he's living on his faith. Amen. He was about 6 years old, and I'd pray with him in the mornings, and we'd have our prayer time at night when he would go to bed, and we'd go in and talk about the Lord, and I'd just lay hands and pray over him and so forth, ask him questions, how's he doing, and how was his day, you know what I mean. And so I was getting ready to get up off the bed and go into the living room, and he said, Daddy, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, well, sure, son, what's on your heart? He said, well, you know, I want what you have. I said, what do you mean? He says, I want what you have with Jesus. I said, well, it's very easy, son. All we have to do is ask Jesus to be your Lord and for him to come into your heart. And that's exactly what we did. And he was born again. Listen, see, it's so easy. Parents, listen. It all starts in the Christian home. That's where it starts with you, all of it. And when these four verses, when they are obeyed, and you do so in love, they will change the lives of your children forever and ever. Amen? Let me read, and then we're going to pray. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father, honor your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And the church says, Father, we thank you for the greatest words spoken about child training, about parenting. And Lord God, I pray that there was no one here that felt, Lord, not to beat the sheep, I love the sheep, but Lord, I pray for every father. I pray for every mother. If they have young ones at home, teenagers at home, Lord God, I pray they put this into practice immediately. They do it with love and they do it with tenderness. And Lord, that you bless their children, you bless their home. You fill that home with your power, with your spirit, with your love and your joy, and that they sense and feel the presence of the living God there. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet. And as I